Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody. Oh, man. Like everybody, phone is hot. This is my personal phone. People talking about, will the CFL fold? Could it fold? Should it be shuttered, mothballed? We don't want to imply bankruptcy. Everybody's talking about it. And Randy Ambrosi makes his pitch to the House of Commons last night. And now we wait to see if there will be federal funding to support and potentially keep the Canadian Football League alive. The NFL schedule came out last night, too. By the way, we're talking about the second annual Rod Peterson Show VIP sports trip. We're going to Florida. The question is, are we going to catch the Dolphins? Are we going to catch the Buccaneers? Are we going to catch Carol Baskin's Big Cat Rescue, you know, the Tampa area? We'll sort that all out later. Arash Badani's been one of the busiest guys going. He's got some big interviews lined up later this morning, so we're going to bring him in earlier than schedule here right now. Arash, you were watching the Ambrosi back and forth last night. If you don't mind, happy Friday, by the way. And where are you on the latest in the Canadian Football League?
Well, I thought a couple of things that the commissioner said yesterday, Roddy, were pretty jarring. When you stand in front of the Standing Committee of Finance or the House of Commons and you say that the future of the league is very much in jeopardy, when you come out and say our most likely scenario is no season at all, there's been a lot of hints and suggestions that could be the case, but when he says it that point blank, that's pretty black and white. I mean, that kind of gets to you, right?
It does, but you follow the business of the league as closely as I do or more closely. Doesn't surprise me at all. I've been saying it the last couple of weeks, so I'm actually shocked people didn't know that it's this dire.
Yeah, and look, this is what I've reported on this for the last little while, and we have a story that's about to drop on Sportsnet. You mentioned we wait and see what the federal government is going to do. I actually have a call with Wayne Easter, who, if you watched yesterday, he was the chair of that finance committee. He's an MP from Prince Edward Island, and he's an alumni of the Nova Scotia Agricultural College, where my father was a professor. But Wayne Easter, I'm going to find out from Wayne what's next. What are the next pieces of this puzzle? But this much I do know from my reporting, Rod, is that the league has spoken with at least three MPs. One's a minister. The other two are CFL supporters. One is Pam Damoff, who's an Oakville MP, and she is a Toronto Argonauts fan. And the other is Bob Bratina, who, as you know, broadcast 500-plus CFL games as the play-by-play man for the Argos and Ticats and is in the Hall of Fame. Here is what Pam Damoff told me this morning. She said, quote, anything would be contingent on an agreement with the players. Nobody can fund anything until the league knows what the players are going to be paid. We couldn't consider anything without the players being involved. So Randy Ambrosi went to the House committee yesterday, is asked, where are the players in all of this? And he says, we have to work that out. I mean, it just seemed incredibly ill-prepared. Now, this is the other thing that MP Pam Damoff told me. You know, they're looking for up to $150 million, as you know. She said, I told the commissioner the league has to put together a business plan. What are you looking for the federal government to do? She said, I think we need to help out the CFL if they have a business plan that's viable for the government and the league, and I think they can do it. She said, but the sooner they put one together and present it to the members of the finance committee, it would be helpful. So a couple of takeaways here, Rod. One, how did you go in front of the House of Commons Finance Committee and not have a plan to present about the players who are the most identifiable to the community? And the second is, it doesn't appear as if there's a real business plan in terms of, okay, you've asked for this money. Where is it going to go, and how specifically are you going to pay it back in kind? Yes, they've talked about community initiatives. Yes, they've talked about anti-bullying programs and tourism videos and in-stadium ideas, but there is no concrete business plan, is what the member of parliament told me, that has been presented to the federal government yet. And, you know, they started, the CFL started April 2nd, in their pursuit to get government funding, and that's where we are right now, based on what government officials are telling me.
Well, Solomon Elamimian saying the commissioner won't return our calls made a statement about it.
That was in April, and he was, you know, he said that the league was being uncooperative and that the commissioner refused the call. But as our friend Dan Ralph reported on May 4th, the league and the PA have resumed talks about contingency plans, and Ambrosi told the House that they're going to meet today. So,
right, but to what end? My point is, Ambrosi, I took that as to mean Ambrosi's got bigger fish to fry, Saul. We'll get to you. We're trying to save the league right now. Maybe he should have returned their calls. And I'm just wondering, is Randy acting on his own, or is he acting on behalf of the owners? Who dropped the ball here that he did not go to the House of Commons with a plan as to how the players were going to get paid? Now, I guess he couldn't have predicted they were going to ask him that question, but you kind of need to have everything figured out.
Okay, Rod, you had to. Look, you go into a scenario and you have to plan out what are going to be the questions that they are going to come at me with. And I have to be prepared to answer them. I mean, it's a fundamental point. You are asking the federal government, you are asking the taxpayers of this country to provide millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars to keep this league afloat. And if you went in there and didn't believe that one of the questions that was going to be asked is, how much are the players, who are the most identifiable stakeholders of your league to the general public, how much are they going to get paid? Then that is completely dropping the ball all over the place. And let me just tell you this, man. Roddy, look, I got the Renegades helmet behind me. I work for the Bombers as well. I've worked for two different CFL teams as a PR person. After practice, players made available on the field or in the locker room, a little bit of a break, then the coach does his media availability. And the way we would do it is the players would go first, I'd get all the player requests, and then 30 minutes later the coach would come. And in that 30-minute window, I would go sit with the head coach while Joe Pow-Pow or Doug Berry would have their lunch or a cold drink on a hot day. And I would say, okay, based on the player requests that I've received, based on what's going on in the league, based on what's going on with the team, these are probably the themes that we're going to encounter. And if there was going to be anything that it was at all confrontational or had some conflict, I would prepare the coach by asking him the questions that I would as a reporter. Now, that is on a Wednesday in August, before a game against Edmonton. Now you have all of this riding on the line. And you were that ill-prepared to answer one of the most basic fundamental questions that you had to know was going to be asked of you?
I know. I mentioned off the top of the show, there's I love the CFL, as do you. You just said why. Mm-hmm. But there's things that I don't like. And it's how many PR nightmares do you need to suffer, PR disasters, before you look at how you do PR? I mean, that's the one problem that I have. By the way, NFL funding, it's our poll question today. Do you support, should the CFL go to the NFL for funding? It happened in 1997, as you know. What would be your immediate answer to that? How would you vote?
Well, I think it's a few things. One, my vote on that is no. I also don't know what the NFL's appetite is right now because it is a global pandemic and they've just had some layoffs and they've had some pay cuts. They have a ton of uncertainty. They don't know if they're going to be playing all, if any, games before fans. I don't think the NFL right now is in a position to do that. And if the NFL does help them out, I would think the National Football League would want to turn the Canadian Football League into some kind of developmental league, some kind of minor league where they could call players back up, back and forth. So I just don't foresee that happening now. I know it did a little while ago. I just don't think under the present backdrop of where we are that the NFL would do that. Look, Rod, I think that the federal government is going to help the CFL out. I'm not sure it's going to be $150 million. But, you know, the message from the federal government is, look, let's do this. Now, I'm going to be reporting on this as well. This is not just a federal government issue, is what some MPs have told me. I spoke with Bob Bertina, who's an MP in the Hamilton area, and also I mentioned Pam Demoff. Their point is this: let's get the provincial government involved as well. You know, Ontario has three franchises. Saskatchewan's got a franchise. Manitoba's got a franchise. BC has a franchise. Alberta has two. Quebec one. There is, it's in their interest, in the province's interest, to get involved as well. Bertina made the point, let's get the mayors and the deputy mayors involved. But municipalities right now have no money. But the economic spinoffs that can benefit the provinces is also significant here. So in addition to just the federal government, perhaps it should be a coalition with the provinces and the feds to come together and try and get some money the CFL's way. That's that. The other thing Bertina told me, said, look, the CFL cannot be lumped with Major League Baseball and the Blue Jays, with NBA and the Raptors. He said it's different. The CFL is part of the fabric of the league. He said, I don't think there should be a pro sports program, but there should be something specific just for the CFL. So, like I said, I'm about to find out what the next steps are with the House of Commons Standing Finance Committee in terms of where they go from here. But those were pointed, direct, fair questions that MPs asked from Saskatchewan, BC, CFL backers. And Rod, I think what we learned yesterday is really how fragile and how broken the economic system of the Canadian Football League is. That you have community-run organizations that are posting certain profits and results, but that the private ownership in this league, they are losing a ton of money. And, you know, how sustainable is it to continue to have owners to write checks for losses year after year after year? You just had an owner in Montreal throw the keys down on the table and walk away. David Braley has apparently, reportedly, tried to sell the BC Lions for a while. Hasn't gotten anywhere with it, or maybe doesn't want to sell it. So I'm just not sure what the appetite is when you know coming into this thing you're going to continue to lose a lot. And Randy Ambrosi had no real answer when MPs and committee members asked him, wait a minute, you have people with net worth of hundreds of millions of dollars, if not north of $1 billion, why aren't they writing more checks amidst all of this to help subsidize their business, especially as Canadians are losing jobs and are worried about paying rent and putting food on the table. And there really wasn't a legitimate answer there from the commissioner either.
That's why I've been advocating that the Lions be sold to the Aquilinis, the Canucks, the Alouettes sold to the Molsons, the Canadians. They'd be protected. In a case like this, like the Argos, Stampeders, Red Blacks, that's my thought. You got to go right away, right?
I got another 10-15 minutes, so we got a little
okay.
bit of time.
Well, two questions. One, Leo Ezrins is watching this, the executive director of the CFL Alumni Association. Yeah, great dude. He asks, if you know who's handling government relations on behalf of the CFL, it sounded like they contracted an outside agency. Do you know?
Yeah, it's a lobbyist company by the name of Crestview that's Ottawa-based. The CFL has been using at least 2017 is what I've been able to. And since April 2nd, when they reached out to Crestview to begin the lobbying of the government, they have added not one but two more lobbyists. Now, based on the information that I can find, Jason Clark is the lead lobbyist. They just added a third one. And it's Clark who has had 11 different communications on behalf of the league with the federal government. Leo, Rod, they have spoken with, from my reporting, at least two members of parliament, in addition to a federal minister, Catherine McKenna. They have spoken with Innovation, Science, and Economic Development Canada. They've reached the director of policy there and a senior advisor. They've spoken with Heritage Canada, the chief of staff and the director of policy there. And so they've gone through all of this, and they've gone with Crestview. And I know at least one other, I know one reporter, one national reporter, has filed a Freedom of Information Act to try and get more details. But I've spoken with two of the MPs. I've not spoken with McKenna yet. And they're saying, look, we want to help. We believe this should occur. But based on what happened yesterday, the CFL has a lot more work to do in order to reach the money that they hope to get.
Sounds like it very much. Great question, Leo. Outstanding answer, Arash. Lastly, for fun, are you as enthralled with The Last Dance as we all are and the rest of North America? How much are you enjoying it?
I do. I am. You know, Roddy, like you and me, we're sports fans, right? I mean, first and foremost, that's why we got into this. And especially at that time, you know, I think I was into high school or beginning university. We get a peek behind the curtain. That's what everybody really wants. And that's what that has provided. I watched an interview that the director, Jason Heyer, did with Dan Patrick. For this doc, Rod, they did 106 sit-down interviews. And from the original raw footage that NBA Entertainment gave them from the 97-98 season, they had 900 hours of video. Now, just imagine how much gold has hit the cutting room floor. They could probably do another 10 episodes if they wanted to. But it's been great, and it's amazing just how much pro sports has changed in the last 20 or so years. And I did an interview with Mark Cuban the other day, and Cuban said, you know how much has changed? Because in those days, Scottie Pippen was not pleased with his contract. You know, they talk about it on sports radio and some columnists. He said, now with social media, Scottie would be getting eviscerated if he wasn't playing for the Bulls, even though he was under contract. So it's amazing how eras change. It's really neat to get that peek behind the curtain. And you know what else is amazing, Rod? None of those guys regret anything they did back then. They stand by it. Good, bad, indifferent, ugly, pretty. So I can't wait for the next four to drop.
Most don't. You're right. All right. This has just been a grand slam. Thank you, Arash. Stay safe, and we'll chat soon.
You got it, Rod. And very soon on sportsnet.ca, stories about to drop about players, about business plan with the CFL and the federal government. If you're a fan and you're following what's going on, maybe of interest to you to go check that out.
Absolutely. Outstanding stuff. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay, bud.
Sportsnet's Arash Badani just bringing the wood, as our man Jack Fulton says in Calgary, with a lot of info there. I don't really want to break, but we kind of have to. Viewership is strong right now. Leo Ezrins from the CFL alumni writes back, thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate the thorough response. I think we'll stay on schedule and come back with a sports update. We'll get into a little more of this. People love the interactive nature of this program. I've got text messages to get to. People's chiming in on the Facebook feed with their thoughts on Randy Ambrosi's, the job he did last night before the House of Commons. There's a lot of stuff to get to. John Thomas Moore is back, and John says, excellent interview. Sounded like he said the community teams are doing okay, but the private owners are losing a ton of money. I want to delve into that. He says, before I funded a group like that, I'd like to know why this is. This puts a rather negative light on taxpayers funding the rich. Be a different thought if all teams were being affected the same. But all leagues are different. Don't just remember one thing. It's not just the CFL. How much money do you think the Florida Panthers owners are losing? How much money do you think the Arizona Coyotes owners are losing? Bear away. I don't even think he owns a team anymore because he was losing some. This isn't just a CFL thing. I get it, but we got a lot to get to.
Oh, yeah.
Right? We'll be back. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hi, neighbor. Bruce Axelson from the Capital Automotive Group. In these challenging times, we've taken the proper precautionary measures to ensure our dealerships are safe, comfortable places to visit. We've also made adjustments to make shopping and servicing easier for you, including at-home test drives, service pickup, and delivery at no extra charge, and we increased our shuttle services to better serve you and your family. We'd like our community to know that we're here to serve you however we can. The Capital Auto Mall. We're at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of The Rod Peterson Show.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down.
and to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Nat, what are the top five reasons people come to Suds?
Number five, our advanced technology protects your finish and keeps your car clean longer. Number four, we knock off the snow and ice and towel dry to prevent freeze-up. Number three, our famous Suds Ultimate thoroughly cleans your car's interior. Number two, you never need an appointment and you get a showroom shine. And the number one reason, we treat our customers like family.
Treat yourself and your car to a Suds full-service car wash.
Hey, you! Have you subscribed to The Rod Peterson Show YouTube channel yet? Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now!
Well, it has been, as predicted, a very interesting show. Heated in a way. One thing keeps rattling around upstairs for me, and that is we have been learning a lot. Really, in the last 2 months. For me, the last year. But as far as how sports business works, how government works, I put on Twitter a while back that the pandemic coronavirus is draining the swamp. And I got eviscerated to the point that I had to delete it because what people took that to mean was the people that were dying were the weak and it was natural selection. I'm like, no, that's not what I meant.
Right.
What I meant is it's exposing a lot of people and companies. Whether it be for your lack of character, whether it be for your lack of finances, whether it be for your lack of care for your fellow man. It's exposing a lot of people. CFL, it's standing there naked right now.
Yeah.
It's been exposed for not the financial juggernaut that people thought that it was. But I'm just surprised that people didn't know that. JR is watching in Cranbrook, BC. He says, it'll be interesting to hear from CFL general managers on this bailout. Why? What are they going to say? They would be like most football people, I would think, scared as hell that they're not going to have a job within the next few months or the next year.
Yeah.
What are they going to say?
Their jobs are personnel, running the team, who's coming in, who's not. So they would have lots to say on the coronavirus and the pandemic, how it's changed their business. Camps have changed. Recruiting players has changed. We don't know if we're going to have a season, how they're preparing. But in terms of the bailout, they would literally say, that's not my department. And
it's not.
We'll let the business people deal with that.
They wouldn't be telling a fib there.
So that would be the answer. So we just did the interview. That's all they would say. But I get it. Their jobs are on the line, sure. But it's not up to them. It's the owners, the general manager. It's the owners, sorry, and Randy Ambrosi in the CFL that has to make this happen.
We got breaking news today. Thank you to Bill Lothian in Assiniboia and Jeremy Corrigan from PGTV Prince George for both writing in and saying Mike Rooney is the new general manager and head coach of the Melville Millionaires. Good friend of mine, Runes, Yellowgrass guy, and most recently a scout of the Buffalo Sabres of the National Hockey League. Great hire by the money men. The Melville Millionaires, Mike Rooney, their new head coach and GM. So to the sports update, I guess we'll just continue that. The UFC is returning to action this weekend after an involuntary 8-week pause while the coronavirus upended President Dana White's determination to keep fighting amid the health crisis. The MMA promotion is holding 3 shows in 8 days in a fan-free arena in Florida where state officials were willing to allow it. With no blueprint for keeping athletes safe while they compete amid a pandemic, the UFC consulted regulatory officials and outside experts to develop its protocols. They were also helped by Jeffrey Davidson, the UFC's chief physician, who had already dealt with COVID-19 cases in his other job as head of the emergency department at Valley Hospital in Las Vegas. Dana White finding a way to get it done.
Yes.
CFL Commissioner Randy Ambrosi says the most likely scenario for the league is a canceled 2020 season during COVID-19. Ambrosi made the admission for the first time while testifying to a House of Commons Standing Committee on Finance Thursday. Ambrosi appeared via video chat during a panel on arts, culture, sports, and charitable organizations. During his testimony, Ambrosi said the league's future is very much in jeopardy. And with our NFL insider Jim Lang coming up, here's an NFL note.
As part of the release of their 2020 schedule, the Seattle Seahawks also said thanks to a dozen pandemic frontline workers in the Seattle area. In a video posted along with the schedule, the Seahawks gave season tickets to 12 workers who had been nominated for consideration. The dozen awarded tickets range from a restaurant owner to a firefighter, EMT, to hospital workers and grocery store employees. This sports update for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive in Saskatoon. They feature free citywide delivery and curbside pickup. See their Facebook page for their takeout menu. See it, Wendell's. Fish Friday.
Yeah.
Yours of mine. That's the best fish and chips I've ever had anywhere. That includes both coasts, Mexico. The best fish and chips is at Wendell Clark's in Saskatoon. And again, just ahead of Jim, where the hell? Metal Shingle Guy writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line. That's his handle. Metal Shingle Guy from the 536 writes in at 840-8777. He says, so the CFL is allowed to open in Ontario. Will Mr. Moe follow suit and allow the Riders to do the same? Let them play, he writes in all caps. Mr. Moe, of course, is our premier of this province. For those that are watching from outside it and don't understand, it doesn't matter. It's nice that they're opening those facilities in Ontario for the Argonauts, the Tiger Cats, and the Red Blacks, but they're not going to be able to play unless the mayors of these cities are loosening restrictions on large gatherings. There will be no games. So it's a very small win that they're opening the facilities. But Randy Ambrosi didn't tuck his tail between his legs, sorry to say, and fall on his sword in front of the House of Commons if he didn't really have to and think that there's not going to be a season. So it's not as big and breaking news to me that they're opening the facilities. How about you?
Yeah, no, it's just to get those guys doing something, making sure that they continue to play and practice. If the leagues come up with a way to be able to play and the communities allow for that, you want to get people back in so that at least they can be training a little bit more realistically. So yeah, to me it's a big win for them, but it's not really big news.
No, and what we've realized here with our Facebook viewers today is they don't feel Randy Ambrosi looked great with the coverage that's been coming out of his Q&A with the House of Commons Standing Committee last night. I didn't watch it. I'm going by, well, I've seen the transcript of it, so I might as well have watched it. For one, I'd like to know who else across this country is talking about this right now, today, at this time. Nobody but us, I don't think. But that's why I asked Arash, do you think Ambrosi's speaking on his own, for himself, or was he primed and prepped by somebody? Is he speaking on behalf of the owners? Because if it is him, I'd be a little disappointed. If he's speaking on behalf of the owners, you know, I'd feel even worse because it just looked like he went in there unprepared.
Yeah, and that's not great, especially when a question comes in about the players and things like that. This is, I mean, it was a month that they asked for money, right? Over a month ago. You have an opportunity. I mean, you need to present that complete plan. And yeah, it doesn't have to be perfect, and you can always allow for changes, but you better have an idea of where you're going, why you need the money, what the expenses are. Here's where they're going. Here's how the players are going to be involved. Here's how we're going to be involved. Here's how the fans are going to be involved, the communities. It's probably a 150-page business plan you could have dropped on the desk of the House of Commons and said, look it, we need $150 million. Here's why. Take a read, and we'll go from there. Would have answered every question. And you would have had people look it over and ask questions and pick it apart, and it didn't seem like that happened.
Let's go to the video chat now. We have Canada's foremost NFL expert, but he's a CFL aficionado too, Jim Lang, former voice of the Argos. Good day, Jimbo. How are you?
I'm good, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Actually, better than you'd think. Better than average out here. No complaints. Okay. You are a man that's not shy in opinions. You've made a career of it, and good ones. So can we start with the CFL in the last 24 hours to maybe the last week since news broke that they're looking for federal aid?
I mean, I applaud Randy Ambrosi for trying to get some money, but in Southern Ontario and Quebec, in Montreal and Toronto, there are body bags stacked up like cordwood, and it's carnage. They're talking thousands of people are dying. The senior homes in Ontario and Quebec it's a war zone for the PSWs, for the nurses, for the custodial staff. And they actually just announced that they want to give them some more money per hour because they are frontline workers. We're talking frontline as we're talking in a military term. And they've had the call of the Canadian military to assist senior homes in both provinces. And that's a tough ask for Randy Ambrosi right now, considering what's at stake, the businesses that are on the verge of collapsing, small, medium businesses, farmers are hurting across the country. It's the, I mean, I understand it. I mean, the CFL's in my blood, like a lot of people across the country, but the timing's not good for him to ask this, because whatever extra money that the Trudeau or whatever premier has is being plowed back into healthcare to keep people alive.
Interesting wording by you, Jim. You might as well have said, you got a lot of nerve going in and asking for that amount of money, given all what's going on.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, we have businesses all around here, all around the country, who are teetering, begging for everyone to get back to work so they can keep a roof over their head and keep their family fed. I mean, and that's how desperate it is for some families in this country right now. We have frontline PSWs, personal service workers, nurses who are dying, taking care of the sick and elderly in this country. And the timing could not be worse. Because they're the only one that I know of that's gone directly to the government and said, we need big money. Hasn't happened in hockey, hasn't happened in basketball or baseball. And it's, I mean, sports is my life, but to ask for money right now, considering everything going on, it's a tough ask. I just don't know how they would give them any money. 150, forget that. That's not possible. I mean, if they give anything, it's a fraction. I mean, the farmers, they had talked about how much money they were going to give the agricultural industry in Canada, and it's not as much as they thought it was, because I don't think they have as much to give because they're dealing with a healthcare tsunami in this country.
It's funny you mentioned the other leagues, by the way, and we're going to switch to the NFL here, but I do now do a lot of business with the other leagues, and they're sitting there watching the CFL Ottawa situation going, it's a big ask. We're watching this really closely. So it's a domino effect. It's, as Larry Smith said, great article done by Dan Ralph of CP this week, that this Larry Smith, the quote, this is a very, very, very sensitive issue, clearly. You know, maybe that's an understatement.
It is. No, Larry's, he nailed it. We get updates every day, emails. My mother-in-law is in a long-term care home where people are dying, where there are personal service workers who are ill. And there's examples like that all over this province. I was talking to a friend in Montreal, and they said, it's worse. You're talking the two biggest provinces in the country dealing with massive healthcare issues. Do you think they're going to say, oh, sure, here's $150 million to the CFL? No matter how much you love sports or football, that's not going to fly. It is not.
Right. So now, to happier topics, if we may. The 2020 NFL schedule released last night. Yeah. I don't know how much you were watching of it. I watched most of it. I loved the way the NFL Network unrolled it. What was your thoughts on how that played out?
It's good for the Buffalo Bills, because, I mean, Bills fans in Western New York and Buffalo and Southern Ontario have long felt they've been disrespected and don't get enough publicity for how good they are. They're finally getting a number of primetime games in the 2020 season. The other big takeaway, I don't know if fans realize this, there's no overseas games in London. There's no games in Mexico. It's all North America. And in both facilities, you guys were just talking about that before I went on, it's muted. When they're saying they're opening facilities, it's with strict conditions. And that's part of the problem with the NFL. For instance, the Raptors facility, like the NBA has strict rules. You have to wear a mask going in. You can work out. You can practice, but no scrimmages. And it has to be limited number of players. So basically, a player at one end of the court, one at the other. So you can't have a whole team in there at one time. And then we're talking with an NBA-sized team with 16 players, a number of coaches. NFL practice, you're going to have with practice squad and injured players and roster players, 65, 70 players with two dozen coaches and assistants and trainers. So that's going to be real difficult for Roger Goodell and the NFL when they get to a point where they can have that many bodies together practicing. Right now in the NBA, you're not allowed to scrimmage, even with the facility open, because of concerns about COVID-19. Hockey, I'm not sure what they're going to do. Football, how are they going to practice line play without an exercise physical distancing? So this is a concern now that for the leagues, but then the coaches to actually get their teams ready. This is such a new world, gentlemen. How do you practice the fundamentals of your respective sport when you're not allowed to do it? And until they're allowed, until they're loosened, it's a real tenuous situation. And so for football, for the NFL, as excited as they are, I do know that they're talking about if they have to, they would play the Super Bowl at the end of February and push everything back a month. So if they have to start it early October, because Dr. Fauci and the American government and the American healthcare industry says, we just can't start the season right after Labor Day, we are not ready, then they've kind of built that in there. So they have multiple scenarios. So it is exciting about the schedule, but there's a big what if factor as well, because everything going on in the world.
How much have you investigated what I just heard this morning, that there is a tremendous amount of flexibility built into the NFL schedule for this to happen? I kind of skimmed over it. I didn't really dig into it. What do you know about that?
Well, I think you're 100% right. They've built flexibility on facilities, how late can they go to March 1st? How late can they play games? There is everything's on the table. I mean, the big thing right now in North America is who can get a vaccine and how fast can they get it and how effective is the vaccine? Because right now, as it stands right now, you can't have 80,000 people in a stadium to watch a game. That's not feasible, considering everything going on in the world. But so even if you get to the point where you can play a game, even though the schedule may say that it's the Cowboys playing the 49ers this day, we may not be sure. That's going to become way later. And the other thing is, right about now, teams would be getting ready for OTAs, mini camps, things like that. That's out of the window. Players are working out on their own of all leagues. So as far as training camp could be a reduced training camp. Instead of showing up in July, you may show up in August. One preseason game, maybe two, play a season. Maybe no preseason games. They may not be able to do it. I mean, everything's on the table for the NFL and every sports league. Because, if you've been tracking this, every league, every day or two has a different scenario where they go, okay, I think this is how we can restart the season. But then it changes based on everything going on in the world. So, yeah, any and all possibilities are open because they have to be. I mean, every league, I know in Toronto, they're talking about using Scotiabank Arena as a hub and have 6 to 8 NHL teams play games here. But the Blue Jays and Raptors probably can't play games in Toronto because of the travel restrictions with the Canadian government. Because players coming from the U.S. would have to quarantine 2 weeks before they play a game. So that's not workable.
Yeah. Well, Clark has asked me to ask you your vote on our poll of where we should go in Florida, which game to pick on our sports trip that we do every year. But the way I'm hearing you talk, you don't think there's going to be games, or at the very least with fans in there. But let me just say this. Well, here's our options. Week 12, Kansas City at Tampa Bay. Week 13, Cincinnati at Miami. Or week 14, Kansas City at Miami. And this is in concert with our travel agent, by the way, Michelle. So we're taking votes on that.
No.
Yeah.
Week 12. Oh, yeah. Mahomes against Brady. And Tampa's a beautiful stadium. It's one of the nicest. It's older, but the grass is conditioned. I really like Tampa Stadium. And at that time of year, Mahomes is the real deal. I mean, he's so special. And Brady, you would think after everything he's done, like he would just say, okay, I've done it, but he's got a real chip in his shoulder again this year, again determined to show he's still got it, to prove everyone what he's all about. There's going to be some players in the Tampa locker room are going to get a real lesson on what winning and leadership and dedication to the craft of being an athlete's all about, because he's going to hold them to a high standard. And Bruce Arians doesn't have to say a lot when you have Tom Brady there. Like, you're coming into the facility for practice. Tom's been there for an hour. You're leaving. Tom's still there. The guilt's going to get to you. Like, maybe I should stay and work out more. Maybe I should study some more, because the guy with all those Super Bowl rings who's on the Mount Rushmore of greatest players in the history of the league is working twice as hard as me. So maybe I should as well. So I am really fascinated to see how Tampa responds to his presence and his leadership. And I think that would be an incredible game to be at.
Fascinating is a great term for it. 5 primetime games for the Buccaneers, the most allowable. That's how often they're going to be in primetime. I don't think they were in 1 last year. And by the way, Bill Belichick last night, I don't know if you watched the NFL Network, the interview with Bill, they're like, okay, last question, Bill. It was with Rich Eisen. He's like, so I got to ask you, how would you deal with the post-Tom era? Do you know what his answer was?
No, I missed it. I'm sorry. I missed it.
It's fine. He goes, we won without him. You know, back in 09, we had Castle. We won 11-5. You know, we've won without Tom. We'll be fine. I was like, oh, you. But what did you think he was going to say, right?
That's Belichick. I mean, yeah, they won those games, but they missed the playoffs. You know, Miami won the division that year with the Wildcat offense. But who's their quarterback? Hello? Anybody?
I mean, who was the Patriots? You know, who was the Dolphins?
No. Who was the Patriots' starting quarterback this year?
Who is this year? Oh, I know. Well, yeah. I think by the time it's all said and done, I think it's got to be Cam Newton. Who else could it be?
You got me, because right now you got Sam Darnold in New York, who's an up-and-coming quarterback, Allen in Buffalo. So for the Bills and the Jets, everything going on the upheaval in New England, if they don't win the division this year, I mean, because you know Belichick is going to make sure if things don't work out this year, by 2021, they'll be locked and loaded and ready to go. So you may get a mulligan this year. So if the other teams, the AFC East, think they're going to win the division, they better sell out and push all their chips to the table and do it this year, because it might be the only chance, because a year later, Belichick will have the hammer again and it's all going to be all his.
Oh, Jim, see, I could go forever. Do you think that this is the same scenario as the Bulls, the Jerry Krause Bulls, that they got rid of Jordan because of ego? I mean, the documentary's not over yet, but we all kind of remember what happened there. They didn't want to pay him, the ego, the brand got too big, and the Bulls have been irrelevant since. Is it the same thing in New England with Tom?
There's a lot of similarities, a lot of parallels. Don't forget, Tom Brady has his own line of merchandise called TB12. He has his own trainer. He has his own diet and supplement system. And that has really rubbed Bill Belichick raw. For Bill, it's all about the Patriots way, and we don't need outside influence. But then there's Tom. He's proudly wearing his TB12 gear. He's selling his TB12 supplements. I mean, Tom's about Tom. That's one thing the great athletes in sports do is sell themselves. Michael Jordan is MJ, Air Jordans. He's made hundreds of millions of dollars selling Michael Jordan, no matter if he played for the Bulls or not. It's the same thing for Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. That was always an issue. I know that some of the personal trainers, personal nutritionists, the people that keep Tom going, Bill Belichick at one point said, I don't want you around the facility anymore. So Tom would have them at his home, because Bill didn't want them at the facility in New England where the Patriots practice and work out and everything, because that's not Bill's way. That's not the Patriots' way. So great athletes, when you get to that level, it is a different set of rules. I mean, he is bigger than the team. I mean, if you're the 52nd player in the Buccaneers, you don't have the same rules as Tom Brady. And the same thing for Michael Jordan or any other player. Now, a lot of players can, you know, act like I'm the ultimate team player and treat everyone with respect, but management coaches don't. They know that whether or not they win and whether or not they're going to get another contract and they're going to make money depends on keeping that superstar happy. So it's Tom is very much like MJ that way. That's a great analogy, because they are their own industry under themselves, who just happen to play for different teams now.
Well, Jim, as you can see, I've really been brushing up on my NFL, and it looks like that's all we'll have to talk about for some time. So I appreciate this. This has been fun, as always. Have a great weekend. Stay safe, and hopefully we can chat soon.
Okay, guys. Take care. All the best.
There you go. Jim Lang, Canada's foremost NFL expert, coverer, if that's a word, of 5 Super Bowls for Sportsnet. It's been to every facility. It's just going to be fantastic chatting with Jim as we move along and towards the NFL season in 2020, which it sounds like it's a go. A lot of things to get to. We'll be right back. We'll check in on the Prairie Mobile text line. Update the poll results. Do you support NFL funding for the CFL? We have not even barely brushed on that.
Yeah.
And we need to. It's time. We'll be back. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Does this look familiar? Your fans deserve an incredible arena experience. It's time for an upgrade. Stunning graphics. Revenue opportunities are just the beginning with our in-venue display systems and scoring technology. Let us help you find the best solution for your facility. DDG. Always delivering the best fan experience. Find us at ddgregina.com.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years and it's been a great experience.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the show, everybody, as we get into one of my favorite topics, CFL business. But there's off-field and on-field news in the Canadian Football League right now. From the Twitter account CFL News, Canadian offensive lineman Jake Bennett has retired, and he's given the credit for the news story to the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Again, Canadian offensive lineman Jake Bennett has retired. John Thomas Moore writes in, one of our viewers, he says, I just read Canadian O-lineman Jake Bennett has retired. Isn't he only like 24? Yes. Clark alerted us to this in the break that this was all going down. Look, guys, this is where we got to get into the meat and potatoes of things. Guys are getting on with their lives. There's a very real chance Jake Bennett got a job somewhere. Now, he's watching the news over the last 24 hours going, there's not going to be a CFL in 2020. Likely, there may not be a CFL at all. My guess is he accepted a position somewhere and he's getting on with his life. We said 2 months ago when this started, this is going to end football careers. Nobody was listening at the time, and now it's happening. Travis Lule leaving the BC Lions to join the family financial services business in Oregon. Why would he leave the BC Lions? Folks, this is what's happening. I've been trying to say it for the last few days. The worst is still to come. We've been in a holding pattern. Now things are starting to shake out, and they're not shaking out well. Fair?
Fair.
I mean, I'll get off my soapbox here, but I told you this was coming. Last week, I get eviscerated for being a negative Nelly or fake news saying if they don't get Ottawa money, federal aid, the CFL is going to fold, and I get ripped for it. And then Ambrosi goes and tells the House of Commons the same thing. Like, what am I getting yelled at for? You know, so.
Yep.
So to the NFL funding thing. Some very influential people, I would suggest, have been writing me. And there are a lot of those guys, frankly, that Lynch was talking about way back in hour one. Guys that have done something in the CFL, whether it be with the Rough Riders or at the league level. But they're not anymore. They're all just sitting back watching. The interview with John, with Larry Smith this week. Larry Smith, the former CFL commissioner, who's now a senator. He said, I'm sitting back and watching this. How many times have I quoted him as saying, this is a very, very, very sensitive issue. He doesn't think going to Ottawa might have been the best thing to do. Well, it's the best thing that the CFL owners and Randy Ambrosi could come up with, so they did it. It is a PR nightmare just to do it. But they've done it.
Yeah.
Who knows if they're going to get the money or not? Let's say they don't. So now you're hearing people talking about telethons and GoFundMe campaigns to save the CFL. Could happen. Based on the Angus Reid poll survey results that was released yesterday, all that money is going to come from Thunder Bay West. And then on the rest of Ontario, Quebec, and the Maritimes, they're not contributing diddly to the CFL based on a private funding from the public, basically. So that's not going to happen. So now you, not to the extent that they need. So now you're going to the NFL. And I think it's time. Remember I said, remember that guy's comment there from Jeff Moorcroft? He said, has the CFL ever received a loan from the NFL before?
Yeah.
Jeff, you're going to want to go back and watch hour one because Lynch and I talked about it. We were both at the news conference. There it is. Jeff Moorcroft. Has the CFL got a loan from the NFL before? It's one of these moments where I'm realizing how old I am. It doesn't seem like that long ago, but it was. So I'm at the news conference with Lynch, and they're announcing in 1997 the league's about to fold, the CFL, but they have a bailout, a loan from an anonymous donor or investor to keep the league afloat to the tune of $500,000 per team. It would eventually come out that it was the National Football League. Just the way it was presented by Tom Shepard made me fall off my chair laughing because he's like, I can't tell you who it is. At the news conference, Tom Shepard, the former Ryder president, I can't tell you who it is. And the reporters are like, well, can you give us a hint? Yeah, it's in this universe. Thanks, Tom. And what ticked me off about all that was, and this wouldn't surprise anybody, I don't think, longtime CFL fans, the Riders repaid the loan. I don't think anybody else did. Maybe Winnipeg, maybe Edmonton. But in true Saskatchewan fashion, we don't want to owe anybody. You loan us, we'll give you the money back when we can. Talk about the Saskatchewan way. Is it suckers or is it integrity? I can't quite go back and forth in my own mind on a daily basis. But anyways, they're back at death's door and probably in far worse shape now than they've ever been. It certainly looks that way.
Yeah, it really does.
And I don't really care. I faced a firing squad when I said it back then. I'll say it now. It is time to get that money from the NFL. Some people writing in here agree with the idea. I said divide the NFL up by nine and say four teams send their prospects to the CFL teams and it becomes a feeder system similar to the American Hockey League. That's the way it's got to be done. And the only reason people don't want to do it is it's the Canadian Football League. It's three downs. It's 110 yards. It's this, it's that. You're dying. You're dying. You're very close to being dead. So I think it's time. If it's not going to happen now, when's it going to happen? And that's going to be the deal. Larry Smith said he's against the NFL funding idea because the NFL is going to want, while he referred to it as an agenda or an ulterior motive, there's going to be conditions. Yeah, we'll give you the money, but now we're going to own you. Like, literally, we're buying you.
Yeah.
So you do whatever we want. So it's going to be smaller fields, four downs, smaller football, although some say it's not. I'm okay with it.
That's interesting. Really interesting. But you're right. Where's that line in the sand? What's the CFL willing to do? Are they willing to cut off the arm to save the body?
That's where we're at.
If
I may, Philip LeGrand writes in and he says, so the CFL would change the rules, Rod? That's what I'm saying. Jeff in Calgary, the Stamps fan, says, sounds like you want to make a deal with the devil, Rod. That's where we're at. What do you think he's doing with Trudeau? What do you think?
Think of where that goes. You want to push a video game through. partner with the NFL. They had NFL Europe on the video game for years.
They could do it within a day.
Within a day.
Within a day, they could do it.
And now you're on the leading video game in the
world. We'll be back with overtime. We just dropped the bomb. We'll deal with the shrapnel when we come back in overtime and talk about the rock star guest of the day and more. It's a Football Friday. Rod Peterson Show continues in a moment. Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Hi neighbor, Bruce Axelson from the Capital Automotive Group. In these challenging times, we've taken the proper precautionary measures to ensure our dealerships are safe, comfortable places to visit. We've also made adjustments to make shopping and servicing easier for you, including at-home test drives, service pickup and delivery at no extra charge, and we've increased our shuttle services to better serve you and your family. We'd like our community to know that we're here to serve you however we can. The Capital Auto Mall. We're at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
This is overtime, everybody. We'll flip a coin. Each team will get a possession because it's overtime.
All right.
For Emerald Water. I have put the poll up on Twitter, by the way. You can start voting now for our Rockstar of the Day, brought to you by Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions. Your options are John Frenzy, Dave Winter from Doug Flutie's Maximum Football video game, Arash Madani, or Jim Lang. They're all great. Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service. Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better. Go check out their Facebook page or LinkedIn page, whatever. They got them all if you want more information on that. Jack Fulton in Calgary writes in. He says, would fans rather have the NFL step in and have football in Canada or have no football at all? Don in Ottawa. Speaking only for myself, but I'd rather the CFL die than become a pale imitation of the U.S. League. I like our uniqueness. Well, there's a saying that we have in recovery. How's that working out for you? Right? Yeah, but. You know what? You're at death's door right now. You're on your knees. How's it worked out for you? And to say you'd rather have the CFL die, wow, doesn't make me less of a traditionalist or a patriot to say that I'm willing to take the money from the National Football League and become a feeder system in a farm league. And not only take the money, look at the benefits versus the pros and cons. Let's draw a list. Right? You mentioned the video game thing with the the CFL cannot get a video game done. They just can't. Well, with Madden 20, if you had four downs, if you had It would be just like the NHL 20. You put all your CFL teams in there, same rules. You got your personalities in there. You'd be playing within a day if you partnered with the NFL. I'm sorry. This is where we're at. Another thing that I've learned 30 years in the media, plus more for the recovery business, I got to keep putting it into your head repeatedly. How much more abuse do you need? Like just uncle. We say recovery is the only war that you win by surrendering. Nope, we're Canadian and we're going to keep going. Am I wrong?
I mean, it would help in a lot of ways. Not only immediately with funding, you talk about the video games. All of a sudden, you'd have people all over North America who are very, very aware of who the Saskatchewan Roughriders are and very, very aware of who every single player is on that team. Same thing with Ottawa. Same thing with Toronto, the BC Lions. So you'd sell merchandise. You'd have a lot more familiarity with the league. There'd be more interest in television deals. And it would be a hell of a lot of momentum for CFL 2.0. If now all of a sudden it's the same familiar game that people are used to when watching the NFL. All over the world. But our uniqueness is something special. It's something to be cherished too. And we love it. I love the CFL for what it is. And we argue that it's a better game than the four down game. But they're not changing. They're not going to change. So again, are you willing to cut off the arm to save the body? It has to be at that point, you know, where you're going to lose the body. And you know what? Take my legs. It's okay. I'll be fine. Still want to live. And it could be a really, really fruitful relationship.
We've literally been in that situation with my family, what you're talking about. You're using a metaphor, but I've been in that situation, and we did it. Cut off the leg to save the body. It does work. Philip Legrand writes that he says, what about the Canadian ratio? Would we sacrifice that? That's a conversation for future shows. The CFL hasn't even officially pulled the plug on the season yet. We don't know if they're getting money from Ottawa yet. None of this may even be, we're just really spitballing right now. I just like the idea of a partnership. It's kind of what we do around here.
We're better together.
From Metal Shingle Guy, I kind of like the idea, Rod. Four down feeder system. Jeff says, the Stamps fan, who says the NFL is interested in such an arrangement? Why did the NFL fund the CFL back in 1997? I'm sure, Jeff, you were probably running around in diapers at that time. You'd have been, what, 15? Did you guys get that joke? The NFL pumped the money into the CFL because they wanted the CFL to stay alive. They did not have to do that. They did it for grassroots football. I remember the quote at the time, which, by the way, is nickels and dimes. You guys remember Winnipeg receiver Gerald Wilcox? Do you guys remember that name, Gerald Wilcox? Yep. I remember him saying, the $500,000 per team to the CFL is slurpy money to the NFL. And that was 23 years ago. It's even more so now. So why would the NFL be interested in doing that? For the opportunity to own the CFL, they would do it in a second. They absolutely. Why are they putting so much effort into NFL Canada if they don't care about Canada?
It's a big market.
They're eating Canada's lunch as it is.
It's a big market. And we would have to find a way to keep it, find a way to keep it Canadian, make it ours, because it would, you know, you don't want it to become like the American Hockey League where we don't really care about their championship when it gets handed out. It's not a big deal. It's more about the feeder system to the NHL and how are the prospects doing. Where the Grey Cup matters in Canada, but that's all stuff that you can work out in the details.
Ken in Saskatoon writes in. He says, great show, Rod. Frenzy was great. He's the rock star. On the TSN Insider segment last night, Darren Dreger reported the NHL wants to finish off this season and wait out the second wave of COVID-19 before starting next season, maybe in December, an indication of uncertainty for all leagues. Arash was excellent, and his point of trying to get NFL funding is right on. Your comment about a market correction is a good point. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Ken in Saskatoon. Thank you, Ken. I appreciate it. Don in Ottawa says, you go to TSN or Sportsnet, it seems to be Leafs 24/7. Do they know they could do so much more if they just tried? Then again, the CFL seems fine with taking TSN money but not pushing them to do more to earn that exclusive rights the CFL give them. Yep, all of that. Yes, more, more, more. But I will end it by saying this. We're not at a point yet to talk about what life will be without a CFL season. We're not at a point yet to talk about what life will be like without a CFL. None of that's been determined yet. Justin Trudeau could come in and save the day. Right?
Yep.
We're all pro CFL here. We're all looking at worst case scenarios, as is everybody else. So, anything else from you before we say farewell into the night?
We gave people a lot to chew on over the weekend. Have a good weekend.
All right. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms and to you, Paul. And we will see you Monday at 10 a.m. Mountain right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.